Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m., May 23rd, 2024. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Julie Fedorchek, so we have a quorum. Would you join me, first off, in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. So, for opening comments, first of all, I'm going to say I'm still trying to dig through FERC Order 1920 and understand the implications, but they're definitely not good. I would say, you know, to some extent, maybe this has been happening through the RTOs that states and ultimately the consumers are forced to pay for things that they may not individually approve of. This is going to make that a whole lot worse. And what I've gathered so far is, up till now, it's been about paying for projects, but projects that are proposed for reliability or those types of things, or cost savings. And you know, sometimes we might feel that our allocation is more than we should be paying for something to provide reliability somewhere not connected to us. This seems to me to bring into that equation projects in the realm of public policy proposals from other states where we don't have a chance to vote on those, as well as corporate preferences. And I find it frightening and disturbing. Also, I'm going to be a little selfish, just on a personal note, because this man was very dear to me. North Dakota lost a great man Saturday, Chuck Straub. It's been in the news a little bit. People kind of know him for being, and this will be a good one for you to look up someday, the Zip to Zap in 1969. He was sort of the impetus of that. He never really, I think, considered that a claim to fame, but it shows the kind of guy he was. Also served in our military. Ultimately was the head of economic development finance for Governor Schaefer. So clearly, you know, someone who cared deeply about his state. What I want to point out is the community and individual kind of man he was. When I was not long out of college and about the only credit I had established was I had been paying my student loans and making my payments on an old used trailer house I had bought. But an opportunity came up to buy agricultural land that lied next to our own land. And my folks weren't even, they didn't have their ag loans and stuff through Chuck's bank. His family had a bank in Hazen. They didn't even have their loans there and stuff. But I went to Chuck for a loan. And at the time, I was working on an hourly salary. And our hours were dawn to dusk. And it was seasonal, so didn't work in the winter. But this was the middle of the summer. And so Chuck didn't want me missing hours because he knew I was short of money to get this deal put together. All of our consultations throughout the loan process to buy that land, by his recommendation, occurred late at night. We would get together down at the bank and talk so I wouldn't have to miss work. Talk about caring about your customers. And then just a few years later, he got the Hazen area dollars for scholars going. And he called me and I, you know, this is how you do community stuff. You know, I was helping you and I need a good board member here. And he recruited me onto the board of Hazen area dollars for scholars. You know, clearly looking out for his community. That's the kind of man he was, and he was a great one. He'll certainly be missed. Just wanted to be able to say that from more than my own personal thoughts. So thank you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Well, what a wonderful tribute you gave, Chuck. I'm going to share some good news. I previously mentioned that our pipeline safety program had a paper review of their system by PHMSA and received a 50 out of 50. And last week, the evaluator from PHMSA was here to do an on-site go out in the field with our pipeline safety program and review, observe them doing an inspection. And as portfolio holder, I got to meet with the evaluator and our staff. And our pipeline safety program through PHMSA is very heavily regulated. And when meeting with them, got the great news that on their pipeline safety inspection observation, they scored a 50 out of 50. So that shows the integrity of our system, the character and dedication of our staff, that they do a tremendous job, that their oversight is well received. And this is the second year in a row our pipeline safety program has received a perfect score. And it just shows, I can't thank the staff enough. Caleb, who is the manager, is not only the manager, but a working manager. And then we have two pipeline safety inspectors who are fairly new and who are aggressively going through the training. So kudos to all of them. But, you know, we work as one here, and it takes a lot of dedication. So I want to give kudos to the pipeline safety program, but also to all those who also impact them on doing a tremendous job. I just want to emphasize that PHMSA, when they send out an evaluator, they send them out for 3 years in a row. And it's good to see that for consistency of the program. So this evaluator has completed his 3 years here at the North Dakota Public Service Commission. So next year we will get a new evaluator. But I'm confident that we will get a perfect score again. So thank you and kudos to Caleb, Lincoln, and Brandon. Conrad, who is the division director, but to all here at the PSC staff who helped make that program successful.
Seeking perfection is a pretty high bar, but if anybody can do it, it's our team there.
Yeah.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Randy and Sherry. Great news on the pipeline safety program and great employees. They're so dedicated to the work that they're doing, and it really matters to citizens in the state. Randy, I'm glad you brought up the FERC order on transmission projects and transmission development this morning. At 5 a.m., my phone dinged, and I thought, I wonder who's texting me right now. It was Mark Christie, FERC commissioner, sending me an article from the Wall Street Journal today titled "The Big Green Transmission Coup." So you should read it. It talks about how the new FERC order, which Commissioner Christie he dissented and had a pretty scathing dissent about how this is really tramples over states' rights, and so that's worth looking at. The article in the Wall Street Journal talks about how this is really a way to socialize the costs of all these state policies and make everybody in the country pay for them. And the danger of socializing costs and utility bills, which is something that Democrats have, I think, just kind of in the last few years realized, like, wow, what a tool. You can put things in utility bills and people don't even notice because they don't expect it. And it applies to everyone. And why it's so dangerous is utility bills are something that people have to pay to have a very basic essential service. And it affects people on fixed incomes a significant amount when you start socializing policy agendas that in many cases only help the folks who can afford to buy some of the technologies that they're advancing, like EVs. So anyway, it's a big problem. Thank you for bringing it up, Randy. It's one of the, you know, concerning things happening at the federal level. I would say the another thing that's going on that we see here right at the PSC is we are involved in two appeals right now of EPA rules that are targeting our fossil fuel industries. I've signed a declaration for both of them. We're working with Attorney General Drew Wrigley on those cases, but the state is asking for a stay on several of the rules, the two that that we're participating in, and there might be more, but I'm participating in two of them and signed a declaration. One is on the greenhouse gas rules, and the other is on the mercury and air toxins standard that they've created that is really targeted at North Dakota Lignite. Those two rules are very devastating to our coal industry. But from the PSC standpoint, they're really dangerous because they further threaten the affordability and reliability of the electric grid at a time where we know we're already short. And the EPA has come in and slammed down this rule that further will cause additional retirements and or additional costs. Well, for sure additional costs, because if you're retiring things, you have to replace it with something, and the customers have to pay for both. And add additional threats to the already fragile grid that is in jeopardy of being able to supply the power that citizens need. Per NERC, the third party organization that is responsible for overseeing the reliability of the grid and making sure that we can provide the power that's needed to serve the citizens of this country. So really dangerous rules. The state is coming out strong against them, and the PSC is working with Attorney General to make sure that we're advocating for the things that are important to us, which is reliability and affordability of our electric grid. That's it for me. Thank you.
And your declaration that I read a few days ago was really well written and excellent. Thank you for doing that.
I will give a lot of credit to Jack.
Okay, we have seven items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I might just need to say that I am expecting a call that I might have to take. So if it comes in, I will just slip out for as short a time as possible. And maybe you can just finish what we're on and take a brief recess. But it's a fairly urgent call, and I can't miss it.
Okay. We'll do that. All right. I move the commission approve revision number 11 to surface coal mining permit BNCR-1101 held by BNI Coal Limited for the center mine to identify the next five-year coal removal areas and update mining and reclamation plans for the next permit term in BNI Coal Limited revision 11 permit number BNCR-1101 application case number RC-23-349.
Second.
So on November 22nd of last year, the Reclamation Division received BNI's application for this revision. It identifies the next five-year coal removal areas and updates the legal and financial section, the operations and reclamation plans, the groundwater, surface water management, transportation, post-mining land uses, wildlife monitoring plan, and the worst-case bond estimate sections of the permit. Mining and reclamation operations are expected to continue in this permit for many years. BNI is requesting a variance from the contemporaneous reclamation requirements for an area within the permit. The variance includes an area that encompasses the final pit location created by the drag line in 2023. So this pit will remain open until the remaining coal can be blended with other coal. BNI's request for variance from the three-year revegetation requirement and the 180-day rough grading requirements have been adequately justified, and the Reclamation Division recommends that the variances be approved as allowed by our Century Code and our administrative rules. The revision was considered a significant one and was subject to the public notice requirements. BNI has submitted affidavits of publication of the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members. We received only one comment from an advisory committee member, and no objections or requests for informal conferences were received. The performance bond was increased to cover the projected worst-case mining disturbance that will occur during the permit term. It's covered now by a surety bond totaling $48,861,000. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission approve renewal 2 to surface coal mining permit BNCR-1101 held by BNI Coal Limited for the center mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for the next 5 years until May 28, 2029 in BNI Coal Limited Renewal 2 permit BNCR-1101 application case number RC-23-360.
Second.
So just like that previous revision, on November 22nd of last year, we received BNI's application for this renewal. The permit covers all or portions of 23 sections, all in Oliver County, totaling over 11,000 acres. Again, coal removal operations will continue for many years. BNI Coal has submitted the affidavits of publication of the newspaper notice. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members. We received no comments or objections to the renewal application. And as I mentioned previously, evidence of adequate bond and liability insurance are currently on file, and the bond, the surety bond is $48,861,000, and the Reclamation Division has completed its review and recommends it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Now we'll switch mines. I move the Commission approve revision 41 to surface coal mining permit NAFK 8705 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to update the legal, business, and compliance information, identification of interests and right to entry, operations plans, surface water management, reclamation plans, and wetland design details for the next permit term in Falkirk Mining Company Revision 41, permit NAFK 8705, application case number RC-23-351.
Second.
So a couple weeks later than the previous one, on December 5th, Falkirk filed the application for Revision 41, which, as I mentioned, updates the legal, business, and compliance information, identification of interests and right to entry, operation plans, surface water management, reclamation plans, and wetland design details for the next term. Revision 41 has no plans for coal removal in this permit during the next five-year permit term, so that might be kind of surprising to some. Falkirk applied for the revision, and the corresponding renewal number 7 that's coming up next to the permit, since mining is scheduled to resume in 2040, as shown on the extended mining plan map in the permit, and this permit area is used to support mining in other permit areas. Falkirk's shop office complex, coal handling facilities and portions of the main haul roads are all located within this permit. Revision 41 was deemed a significant revision, subject to the public notice requirements. Falkirk submitted affidavits of publication for the required newspaper notices that were published for four consecutive weeks in the McLean County Independent and the Bismarck Tribune. We notified the appropriate agencies and the permit area landowners of the revision application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences on this application. The existing performance bond amount of $114.8 million is sufficient to cover the estimated worst-case reclamation costs in the consolidated bond area that includes this permit and others at the Falkirk Mine. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the application and recommends that it be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission approve Renewal 7 to Surface Coal Mining Permit NAFK-8705 held by Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to extend the permit term for the next 5 years until July 6, 2029. In Falkirk Mining Company Renewal 7 Permit NAFK-8705, application case number RC-23-352.
Second.
So, as was the case in the corresponding revision, on December 5th, Falkirk filed this application for the renewal. This covers all or portions of 22 sections in McLean County, containing 9,843 acres. Again, coal recovery from the permit was suspended in 2010, but is planned to resume in 2040. Falkirk submitted affidavits of publication for the required newspaper notices that were published for four consecutive weeks in the McLean County Independent and the Bismarck Tribune. We notified the appropriate agencies and permit area landowners of the renewal application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences for the renewal. The existing performance bond of $114,824,000 is sufficient to cover the estimated worst-case reclamation costs, and the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this five-year permit renewal application and recommends its approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation in IM Telecom LLC, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-23-365.
Second.
So, first of all, IM are two initials, not the words IM. On December 21st, IM Telecom, which is an Oklahoma corporation with its principal offices in Plano, Texas, filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. This designation is also known as Lifeline-only ETC designation. IM proposes to provide Lifeline universal services throughout every telephone exchange in North Dakota. On January 4th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. The notice identified the issues to be considered, which were, number one, is the applicant qualified? Number two, what ETC universal service support area should be designated, if any? And number three is designation of the applicant as an ETC in the public interest. On March 27th, we held an informal hearing. We found that IM will offer plan options, including 1,000 anytime prepaid minutes, 1,000 text message, and 4.5 gigabytes of data at a net cost to an eligible non-tribal Lifeline customer of $20 per month. IM will offer a tribal option with 3,000 anytime minutes, unlimited text message, and 6 gigabytes of data at a net cost to an eligible tribal Lifeline customer of zero. NDAC requires a full description, our administrative code requires a full description of available services in the ETC's official telephone directory. Since IM is a commercial mobile radio service provider, it does not have an official telephone directory and requests a waiver. Based on the evidence in this proceeding, IM is qualified under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 for designation as an ETC and is granted a waiver regarding the publication of a full description of its services in an official telephone directory. The designated service area in this proceeding consists of all study areas in North Dakota.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I know they meet the qualifications, and we get a lot of applications regarding this. But what concerns me is they're out of state, and when we talk to them about providing this service, one of my concerns I always have, and we do express this, is they have no boots on the ground in North Dakota to actually be customer-facing with our citizens of North Dakota. And I think we do a good job expressing that to really provide this service, you need someone here, especially when you're starting off. But it seems we don't get a lot of traction in that, and that's very discouraging. But, you know, they meet the qualifications. But I really think that in order to really provide service, these companies need to have, at least at the beginning, people in the state promoting what they are trying to do. So I just want the public to know that we as the commissioners really emphasize that, but it doesn't seem like we get a lot of traction in that area.
It is. The laws are really designed to give us not much choice but to approve these if they meet these standards. And I agree with what you said about just coming in here and throwing something out pretty much virtually, maybe sending a van to an event that'll have a lot of people there and hooking a bunch of people into getting into a contract for a while and leaving and thus taking a customer away from someone who is here actually available and providing service when people physically need help and stuff. But
or some of them said, how would they attract them is through a pamphlet and then referred to our website. So
concerns are very correct.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Now, however, speaking of one that does have boots on the ground, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Consolidated Communications Networks Incorporated, designated eligible carrier expansion application, case number PU-24-168.
Second.
So on April 22nd, Consolidated Communications Networks filed as a non-incumbent local exchange carrier for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal support for low-income consumers, also known as Lifeline-only ETC designation. Consolidated proposes to provide Lifeline universal services to qualifying low-income North Dakota customers by using its own facilities. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, is the applicant qualified, what ETC universal service support area should be designated, if any, and is designation of the applicant as an ETC in the public interest. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by July 8th, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. I will just say Consolidated is the cooperative that serves kind of the Dickinson and large surrounding area. And I haven't gone through this enough to know exactly what areas this would expand them into, but based on previous issues that we have had, I would expect the Belfield area might be at least a part of it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission publish notice of the 2024-2025 telecommunications relay surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota and Public Service Commission telecommunications relay service miscellaneous case number PU-24-188.
Second.
The relay services program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers of local exchange companies and radio communication service providers. The program is administered by the North Dakota Information Technology Department. Before June 1st of each year, the PSC calculates the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information provided by the ITD. The Commission has calculated the 2024-25 surcharge to be included in bills to customers is 3 cents per access line per month. That has been the case for a number of years. And Commissioner Fedorchuk, I'm going to need some help on this part. It should be noted that this program is to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. This was first established when on April 21st, 1993, House Bill 1028 was signed by?
Governor Ed Schaefer.
Yes, it was. Another great leader.
Very good.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in MDU Utilities Company Electric Service Agreement Applied Digital Approval Case Number PU-23-322.
Second.
On October 2nd, MDU filed an application for approval of an electric service agreement, ESA, with Applied. On October 24th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. And on February 21st, 2024, an informal hearing with the commission was held. On April 29th, the commission held a work session to discuss the matter. And the matter that we addressed is the difference between the first ESA that we approved under case number PU-23-272 and what this ESA said. So a lot of it is the consistency of it. The ESA allows Applied to take service under MDU's high-density contracted demand response rate 45. The facility is within MDU's service territory as provided in the service area agreement entered into and between MDU and Dakota Valley Electric Cooperative. The ESA between MDU and Applied provides for the sale of all electric power required by Applied's high-density data center to be located near MDU's Ellendale 345 kV substation near Ellendale, North Dakota. The ESA proposes that MDU will charge and pass through certain transmission-related charges, which will be credited to the customers within the transmission cost adjustment rate 45. During our April 29th, 2024 work session, what us commissioners questioned was MDU's proposed retention of 100% of the margin. And we discussed that why the difference of that margin wasn't the same as the first agreed upon ESA that we approved. So with the discussion and the highly recommended suggestion from us commissioners is that the ESA on this one be the same as the ESA in the previously approved. So therefore, the commission orders that MDU's electric service agreement with Applied is approved, except for MDU's proposal to retain 100% of the charges billed as a transaction charge on Applied's bill for a term of 5 years beginning May 23rd, 2024. After the initial five-year term, the contract must be filed with the commission for us to review and approve. MDU shall refund to customers 70% of the charges billed as a transaction charge on Applied's bill back to North Dakota customers as a credit in the fuel and purchase power adjustment rate 45 in a manner consistent with the order issued on June 6, 2023, as I reference case number PU-22-371. The sales volume, investment, and costs associated with providing electrical service to Applied under rate 45 shall be excluded from the jurisdictional allocation calculations. This is the same as in the previous. To the extent that the jurisdictional allocations are impacted by Applied's rate 45 sale volumes, MDU will not seek regulatory recovery for the change in the jurisdictional allocations. If MDU is required to update its jurisdictional allocation calculations by another state based upon the direct impact of Applied, MDU shall defend the position to exclude Applied in the jurisdictional allocation calculation, but is not precluded from making a filing with the commission to request a change in the jurisdictional allocation factors or amend the ESA if ordered by another state. Finally, if Applied no longer takes electrical service from MDU, MDU will not seek regulatory recovery of the cost to the extent the incremental cost exceeds the salvage value to disconnect and remove the facilities used to serve Applied. So that is the summary. I support this order, and I ask my fellow commissioners to support it too.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order and Otter Tail Power Company, My Renewable Energy Credits, My Rex Rider, Tariff and Rate, case number PU-24-76.
Second.
On February 14th, 2024, just a side note, my work anniversary, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for approval of a new My Renewable Energy Credit rider. On March 5th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and no comments were received. On the 29th, we did hold an informal hearing to discuss the application with Otter Tail Power Company because this is a new rider. And this proposed rider is voluntary for non-residential customers with over 20 kW of measured demand. The option to purchase Otter Tail's excessive renewable energy credit, RECs. The option is to participate in the rider at 50%, 75%, or 100% of their usage. The rate will be based on a price calculated annually for the small power production SPP rates, which calculates annually pricing for Otter Tail's RECs. Otter Tail plans to file an annual update to the MyREC rider in the annual update to the cogeneration and SPP rates filing, updating for both the customer and energy charges. So the MyREC will be open to eligible customers on a first-come, first-serve basis, and it's equivalent up to 600,000 RECs that Otter Tail will be retiring. A customer will participate for a 12-month period, after which the service will be either automatically renewed or they have an opportunity to cancel as determined by the participant. So I find this new rider acceptable and seek approval
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just vent a moment, but first of all, compliment you on describing it as acceptable. I love that level of enthusiasm. You know, this whole thing, well, I'm proud of our commission, because over the years, for North Dakota's share of our regulated electric utilities, these RECs, we've had them sell them and return that money to the customers, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a silly concept from the beginning, but it is what they have to do, and so at least we are getting that money back to the customers. Now, in this case, I don't know, I guess it's fine. This isn't for residential, my right. understanding. This right. is for their commercial, industrial customers. But much smaller entities than who we usually hear about, you know, with the big national and international firms that greenwash, this allows some more local companies to greenwash their electricity. It doesn't change anything, really. They're still using the same energy they were using before. But I guess if it makes their conscience feel any better, you know, maybe it's okay. But at the end of the day, these are going to be, as I understand it, based on the prices. The price that these customers will pay for the RECs will be based on what they're getting on the market anyways, so we will still be returning the same amount yeah. of this REC money to the customers as a whole. We're not out anything.
Yeah. Right? And this new REC is for non-residential customers over 20 kW. The small commercial and residential class customers already have an option to buy green energy through their Trailwinds rider.
Okay, so thank you.
This is just expanding it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission suspend the tariff and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company AMI self-reading tariff modification tariff case number PU-24-180.
Second.
On May 3rd, NSP filed an application for approval of a tariff modification to their electric rate book. The tariff modification will address NSP obligation related to allowing a customer to self-read their meters. The new advanced metering infrastructure meters, which are expected to be fully deployed by the end of 2025, are not equipped to permit customers to self-read them. So the issues to be considered in the proceeding are whether the proposed rate changes are reasonable and whether the tariff changes should be approved. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 5, 2024. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I move the commission issue a notice of public hearing in Badger Wind LLC, amend Badger Wind Project Logan and McIntosh siting application case number PU-24-87.
Second.
So on February 23rd, Badger Wind filed an application for an amended certificate of site compatibility to construct an up to 251.6 megawatt wind facility consisting of 93 wind turbine generators and associated facilities in Logan and McIntosh counties. A public hearing on this application is scheduled for July 11th at 9 a.m. in Vishik. So we can go to Vishik and get some sausage. And if this sounds familiar, it is, because we've gone through this project before, and actually, I believe, gave them a permit. But they are, amending that permit by expanding the area, adding more turbines, reducing the megawatt size of each turbine. The original project had 79 3.4 megawatt turbines. This new one is, it says 93 2.82 megawatt turbines, and so more smaller turbines, which better matches the, according to their application, the energy profile in the area and allows for more landowner participation. So we'll be going back out to that area and having a hearing on the July 11th at 9 a.m.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
And I sure don't want to demean their civic center because it's a beautiful facility, but as I recall, I think that doesn't have air conditioning.
And so, wasn't it more of a gym?
Or was it? Was the air conditioning just broken down that time when we were down there? So anyway, a July 11th hearing. I'm just saying it may get heated.
Might get.
Well, in that case, I'm going to request Coogan. With ice cream.
Now that might make Coogan better.
On a hot day.
Yeah.
Coogan is always good. Oh. Without ice cream.
Is there any further discussion?
That's appropriate to the game.
How do we all feel about sausage?
Love it.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes our agenda. Commission will stand in recess and we'll take some questions from the press. And then.
Oh, there we go.
Good eye. The regular portion of the PSC meeting for today is reconvened because I forgot to make the announcements, and they're probably more detailed than normal. So this afternoon, we have an informal hearing on TracFone Wireless, another designated eligible carrier application. But then here's what I really wanted to emphasize. We have a whole series of hearings coming up on SCS carbon transport, and I wanted to make sure it's clear when and where these are. So starting off tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we will be in Wahpeton at the Harry Stern and Ella Stern Cultural Center. That's on the campus of North Dakota State College of Science. Then, of course, Monday's Memorial Day. So we will start back up again Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. We will have another one right here in the Capitol. That one will be down in the Brynhild Haugland room. It's that's been under construction a long time. I'm anxious to have an event in there. That will be followed up on Wednesday and Thursday with two more, also here in the Capitol, except those two, they'll also be at 8:30, but they will be in the Pioneer room. These rooms kind of require some shuffling. We take what's available. And Friday, we had scheduling conflicts, so there won't be any then. But then the following week, on Monday, June 3rd, we will start in again, once again at 8:30 a.m., again in the Pioneer Room of the State Capitol, followed the next day on Tuesday, June 4th. But this one will start at 9 instead of 8:30, and that will be at our club down in Linton. And that is our, like O-U-R, not R, like my initial. So, just wanted to make sure everybody was clear on that. With that, we will adjourn and take a few minutes break and then return for the administrative part of our meeting.